All right, so let's welcome Sally to the podium, and she's going to talk to us about sowing seeds in the city.
Good afternoon. As you can see, I've spent a little time on this topic. We have two books out this year. One is Sowing Seeds in the City, Ecosystem and Municipal Services, and the other is Human Dimensions. Beautiful pictures, good stories, and here you're going to get some of the stories from the books. So if I can figure out how to use the forward arrow. Okay, I'm going to use for this, and here the focus is urban agriculture, but I'm going to focus on community gardens in Tacoma, which is south of Seattle, very blue-collar city, known the aroma of Tacoma for the history of pulp and paper mills in the city. This is not where Bill Gates has his home. And the community garden program there, it's a relatively new program, and it's one of the few programs that's been encouraged within the official office of the mayor. The mayor has a stated goal of having more community gardens than any city in the country per capita and has done her best to make it happen. So they've gone from about 5 community gardens 10 years ago to over 80, with more coming. And it's all done under Harvest Pierce County, which is part of the Pierce Conservation District, which is also a nice partnership. The other focus here, not only the city of Tacoma, but the biosolids from Tacoma. If it's a talk by me, there has to be some poop involved, and so here it's going to be the poop from Tacoma. Biosolids are a resource that every city produces, half of which are currently landfilled. Tacoma has a history of making a pathogen-free material and has been blending it with sand and sawdust and have recently expanded to other blends, so it's available for gardeners and community members. And in fact, I have a hoodie that says Making Neighbors Jealous since 1991. So two things about Tacoma, their community garden program and their biosolids program, both of which are currently unique to Tacoma, but there's absolutely no reason that these things can't be translated elsewhere. And that is not supposed to be in this order, but we'll go here. If you go to the Costanza paper, that was the seminal paper on ecosystem services from 1997, he goes through a whole list, and I can argue with great confidence that many of these can be extended to urban agriculture, and that's the basis of a book for, obviously, I can argue this if I can put together 400 pages on this. But one of the critical services here is climate regulation, control of greenhouse gases. And so the city of Tacoma, by using their biosolids for urban agriculture and not putting them in a landfill, you have a whole issue of the benefits associated with landfill diversion. This is from a paper that we published in 2010 where we basically modeled different end-user disposal methods for biosolids and associated carbon impacts. Basically, taking these materials out of the landfill gives you a credit for methane avoidance of close to 3 tons of CO2 equivalent per dry ton of biosolids. In addition to that, you get a value for soil carbon sequestration and for recycling fertilizers instead of using synthetic fertilizers. So just by taking these materials out of a landfill, you get a very significant carbon credit. And this can be done any place. This, in fact, has the work that we've done, and this comes from a follow-up paper that was in 2011, and Andy Barry was one of the authors on this paper, and he's sitting in the room right now. But here we looked at more detailed how much carbon you get from land applying different biosolids and composts, and the biosolids program in Seattle, where Bill Gates does contribute to the program, even though it's not officially through the Gates Foundation. That's a bad joke. Anyway, his contributions are more in kind, shall we say. A lot of the emphasis in the county is to be carbon neutral, and with the work we did basically using long-term data on dryland wheat that WSU was in charge of, we found extremely high carbon sequestration numbers for land application of biosolids, and King County has now taken this and made this an integral aspect of their carbon accounting as a municipal entity. And they're very reluctant to take biosolids away from the dryland wheat because they want to stay carbon neutral. And you can see here, this is some of their literature. So moving biosolids and other waste out of landfills can give you a huge benefit. Biosolids, half of them are beneficially used. You go to the area of food scraps. Food scraps, about 95% of the food scraps are currently landfilled. We're recognizing more and more that this may not be a good idea, to the point where Huffington Post asked me to blog about this. I check them much more now for election coverage rather than whether I think incinerators are good, but this is an issue that you're seeing more and more in the popular press. And EPA just revisited their waste reduction model and came out with a new number, and there's another paper. I'm giving you pretty pictures and less data here, but references in case. Now EPA has realized that a landfill is not consistently efficient through its life, and that when no gas collection is in place, there's no gas collection going on, and that means that methane is being emitted. So per wet ton of food waste, and this is material that's at about 20 to 25% solids, you get a credit of 7 metric tons of CO2 for diversion. And I'm very lucky to live in King County, where I can put my food waste and my yard waste in the same bin and somebody else composts it for me. But you're seeing this happen on a municipal level across the country, and when you're not seeing the municipalities stepping up, you're seeing individuals step up and organizations step up. New York City has a great partnership with the Department of Sanitation where they do a lot of training of composters. If you can do it in Brooklyn, you can do it in Indianapolis. So the other thing that you hear about with composting is, and you can see research on this, that is sure that composting, fugitive emissions from composting, are going to be significant and terrible. If you look at the EPA model, they did give you a value, a debit for emissions from compost piles, but if you look at that relative to the emissions from landfill, you can see that you can drive a great distance with your compost feedstocks and still be carbon neutral. And if you have a well-run carbon composting facility, those emissions are going to be negligible. The other thing that was very nice, and here's one of my favorite places in the world, the Tacoma Wastewater Treatment Plant. But the EPA WARM revision takes into account the benefits associated with compost use and gives a carbon credit for that as well, which is a very nice recognition that there's a value to feeding our soils. They make allusions in the literature that supports the changes to the WARM about improvements in soil properties as well and the associated values with those, but the credit is for carbon storage in soil systems. Okay, and anybody here not know about this? That it's good to add organic matter to soil? Have you heard that maybe someplace before? Yeah. So I'm teaching soils, intro soils, for the first time in 15 years, and the students have had this hammered into their head. You want to make it better? One answer, carbon. One answer, carbon. Mostly compost or biosolids. So anyway, so the other, and you were supposed to get a number for the ecosystem service on the first point with the climate regulation, but at least I got it for the second point. And here is just a few. Waste treatment, recovery of nutrients, pollution control, and detoxification. And here's that same guy shoveling that same pile of biosolids compost. But, and this is in a paper on how to make urban ag safe to protect against lead and arsenic uptake by plants that I co-did with Ganga Hedarachi and Rufus Cheney this year. Basically, if you use clean, tested, regulated materials, and we heard some wonderful work going on in New York about this morning, you have a big problem with contamination in urban areas from legacy use of lead paints and gas. This is a way to use a regulated material with studies showing that it can limit the availability of these contaminants in urban soils as a way to build new and stronger soils. I should point out that in Tacoma, there was an ASARCO smelter, And Tacoma, much of Tacoma, was on the national priorities list. And there's a big, big concern and awareness of contamination in soils in Tacoma. And as part of their community garden program, all soils in all community gardens are tested. And so far they've been fine. Nevertheless, people are very nervous. And Ganga did some work in the Tacoma area using their local biosolids product, and you can see she has the data, and there's a reference there to show you the reductions in absolute bioaccessibility of the lead. But you can also see the secondary bonus of the yield differential between the control and the biosolids amended. So, okay. The other thing that's really important that Tacoma has done, and this is something that's very available in every city, is they take a portion of the wood waste that's collected and a portion of the cardboard that's collected, and they bring these to the urban gardens, because it's not just the soil to plant to person model, it's the dust model as well. And if you have kids working in an urban garden where you have clean soil in the raised beds but exposed contaminated soil around the pathways and the neighboring areas, this can make it more of a hazard. So what they do in Tacoma, and it's really simple, is they give each garden cardboard that serves as a barrier, and then they mulch the woody material, and that's used as a surface cover. And you get a really pretty looking garden, and by the way, it also controls weeds. So you make the soil safe, and you make the garden a nicer place to be. Another benefit of ecosystem services, food production, portion of primary productivity extractable as food. This goes back to another site, that the same site that is making King County so carbon neutral. Much of the biosolids in the state of Washington goes for dryland wheat. And because of changes in soil properties and increased soil carbon and more water holding in this wheat, it was predicted that yields would increase. And in this paper, Craig Cogger was the first author on this, and you can see the difference in yield between the fertilized wheat and the biosolids amended wheat in the guy's hand, but you can also see it in the data, where about 40%, 60% of the time, the biosolids will outperform the synthetic fertilizer. You can take that, and you've seen this studied in agronomy and agronomic crops for many decades now, but you can translate this and see the same results in an urban system. Here you have one gardener who was not touching that poop stuff. And so she got topsoil and an organic fertilizer, and she planted her garden at the same time as her neighbors. Her neighbors took pity on her corn and moved it into their plot, so the corn yield did increase. But you can see the difference in primary productivity between the two systems. These were planted at the same time. It's pretty impressive. And as part of that, in the Tacoma program for that ecosystem service, many of the community gardens have sharing plots or giving plots. So the whole notion of gleaning and giving into the food system and increasing food security is an integral part of the program. And just from their community garden plots, they gave something like 25,000 pounds of food were donated to food banks. And this is an artsy picture of kale here, not a shade tree. So there's a picture from the community garden program in Tacoma of 7-year-old girls loving kale, which is another ecosystem service, one could argue. What's happening in Tacoma that I find really exciting, and this is, again, taking advantage of the biosolids and the whole urban soil net primary productivity, a volunteer farm was formed. And it's gotten, I don't know how many acres it is, but they have 60 volunteers, and it's in association with a high school. And so some of the high school kids are working on the farm, and a lot of the food from the farm is going back into the high school cafeteria. So this is a very direct way of the urban system, food system, expanding in a beautiful fashion. And here is another 13,000 pounds of food. So another example of an ecosystem service associated with this. And they also have a gleaning program that goes to neighborhood fruit trees, and they have another 30,000 pounds donated from fruit trees and other commercial farms. So this is, to me, what a city can look like, a city of the future could and should look like. So another ecosystem service, culture, aesthetic, educational aspects. This is a garden shed. Many of the urban farms have applied for and gotten funding for garden sheds. And so they got special paint, chalk paint, so the kids can now get outside, learn how to get their hands dirty, and plus color the shed till they're fully satisfied with really pretty colors. That's part of the program, but as an additional thing, most of the people that come to grow vegetables in these community gardens have no experience and don't know how to grow a potato or in which direction a carrot grows in. So there's a whole educational component associated with this, and here's just some of the educational programming that's from Harvest Pierce County in association with their community garden program. Oh, I have 10 minutes? Man, you guys better ask questions. I talk too fast and don't tell enough jokes. They have community-wide events, and here we start going into other services. But seed swap, a spring summit, a garden party, harvest tour, and a dance fall celebration of what's been done. So people here are learning about their neighbors. They're learning about how to grow food. And as a result of this, the woman in charge of this program is a former student of mine. And as part of her doctoral program, she talked about where people learn about soils in urban gardens. And in the farms in Seattle, everybody knew where their food and yard waste went because they have food and yard waste co-collection, but none of the biosolids is available to them for use because it goes to the dryland wheat. They had no idea what happens when you flush. In Tacoma, they don't have yard and food waste collection, but they have Tagro, and everybody knew exactly where it went when they flushed their toilet. So whether that's a good or bad thing, we can argue. Anyway, there's also a range of public health benefits, and you're seeing this more and more quantified and more in the literature. Food security, improved diets, increased physical activity, and community strength. A paper recently came out trying to put a dollar value on greening of vacant lots in cities by looking at reduced firearm violence. And if you're able to put a dollar value on that, just turning it green, consider the dollar value that you'd get if you're not only turning it green, but you're getting neighbors to come together, work together, and grow food together. So for me, urban agriculture is a fabulous source of benefits for ecosystem services, which are increasingly recognized as vital. This is one of my favorite paintings on this. It's in the book. I don't know of anybody that raises pigs on roofs of apartment buildings. Maybe somewhere in the Bronx this could be happening. I know there's chickens being kept. But anyway, there's plenty. Not every city is as dense as New York, and there's a lot of open space, usually about 30% or more open space in urban areas. Parking strip gardens are a huge growing sector in Seattle, and everybody has parking strips. So I want to close with a question. Have you ever grown anything on your own? Do you know where your biosolids go, and do you know what happens to your food scraps? And you don't all have to answer at once. But there was a summit associated with the Office of Science and Technology Policy this last summer about soils, and there was a group of 70 soil scientists and associated people there. And I handed out bags of the poop from D.C. and asked people if they knew where their stuff went. And very few soil scientists in that room had any idea. So this is, if you're in this session and care about urban and anthropogenic soils, realize that every soil between their food and yard scraps and their municipal wastewater has soil factories waiting to be tapped. And that's what I have. So.